Hey, what up, fam? Derek Bros here on a walk and talk. It's been like months since I've done a walk and talk, and a lot has happened in the world, in my personal life, and yeah. So I'm gonna catch you up with some of that. Not all of it's really important. Maybe you don't really care, but it's been about almost 6 months since I did this walk and talk thing. And yeah, let's catch up a little bit. So first off, I just got back from the UK about exactly a week ago. Miriam and I went to the UK with Ramiro of the Freedom Cell Network, Take Back Our Tech, Above Phone, for just under 2 weeks for the Better Way Conference in Bath. Shout out to the World Council for Health and everybody who welcomed us there. It was an amazing event, one of the best events I've ever gone to, honestly, in terms of production and good people and organization and all those things. So that was cool. Met a lot of good contacts there, and I put out my 3 different talks. They gave each of us like these 10-minute short speeches, and I put out those the other day. So you probably have seen those on my channel. If not, go check them out. You can find videos about, I did a talk on climate change, I did a talk on AI and transhumanism, I did a talk on scarcity to abundance, sharing my personal story of healing. So I also interviewed my buddy James Corbett out there. Obviously that interview has been going somewhat viral in certain places on the internet. And people not liking the conversation, maybe that's a good place to start, because I know what I'm about to say is not going to satisfy anybody or everybody, but that's the whole point of these walk and talks, right? Is just getting my kind of unfiltered thoughts of what's going on in the world, walking around the bayou here. So, you know, let me just set the background for those who aren't paying attention. Last couple years, there's been the rise of the kind of the no virus movement, the no virus question. And this ranges from people who say, which I tend to agree with, that COVID-19 hasn't actually been isolated, whatever we're calling COVID-19. And then within that, you have people who say that means that COVID doesn't exist. And then you have people who say that means viruses don't exist altogether. And they're big, you know, they're proponents of the terrain theory and stuff like that. And so this debate's been going on for a couple years now, since early 2020. And you can go back to April 2020 when I caught wind of these discussions. And I interviewed Dr. Andrew Kaufman. And then I also interviewed Dr. Andrew Kaufman with Dr. Thomas Cowan. And I'm just going to be frank, I don't know if these men actually are doctors. I know that a lot of people use the term doctor these days, and they could be a doctor of chiropractic, and that's fine. My grandmother was a chiropractor, among other things. But when you use that term doctor, obviously most people assume it means medical doctor. So just want to add that out. There's a lot of people riding this wave of I'm a doctor the last few years, both in the mainstream and in the independent alternative media. And I think you should be skeptical of all of them. Anyway, so I interviewed Dr. Cowan and Dr. Kaufman together. You could even go back earlier and I interviewed Don and David from Why Everything You Thought About Disease Is Wrong, What Really Makes You Ill, I believe is the name of their book. And my point is I've been asking these questions and talking about these things since the very beginning of the panic, the COVID-19 panic, giving a voice to the people who are asking these tough questions, even though at the same time I haven't been fully convinced of their conclusions, to their great dismay, because it seems like a lot of people expect that once you look at this information or you talk to some of these researchers that you're just supposed to be very quickly and suddenly convinced and not have any more questions again ever, and that's not really how I roll. I'm not going to, as I've said before online, I'm not just going to be pressured or pushed into covering a topic or to having a certain view. So I interviewed these various researchers who are claiming that the isolation hasn't happened and there is no such thing as COVID-19 and it's all terrain. And I decided after interviewing them and continuing to do my own research, which continues to this day, that I would interview other well-known people and ask them what are their thoughts about the no virus thing. So I interviewed my friend Del Bigtree. I interviewed Dr. Mercola and asked him about this. You can go find all this is on my website, theconsciousresistance.com. I interviewed Catherine Austin Fitz, asking her what she thought about the no virus question. I interviewed Dr. Mercola, asking him about this. So Dr. Mercola and Mercola and Del Bigtree, Catherine Austin Fitz. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. And of course, most recently, James Corbett. And I've asked all of them, like, what are your thoughts on this whole debate, discussion? You know, is it distraction? Is it divide and conquer? Is it true, but just not a good time to argue about it and talk about it? You know, what do you think? And all those answers, you can, maybe I need to put together just like a compilation video of me asking all these different folks these questions so you can see them if you haven't and then come to your own conclusions. That might be a good idea. Anyway, so I've put forward these questions to some big names in the independent media because I do think that the conversation's worth having, or at least discussing, and ask. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask people about it, especially people who think the idea is totally crazy. But unfortunately, well, and let me say this too. Whenever I ask this question, I do also mention the work of Christine Massey. I believe it's fluoridefreepeel.ca is her website. Christine Massey, who is the woman who's filed dozens and dozens, if not maybe hundreds at this point, of Freedom of Information Act requests, public records requests, open information requests, trying to get to the bottom of whether or not any governments have proof of isolation. And so she's filing records requests, trying to see if she can get governments to give her a document that says, hey, here's our proof of isolation. And she files these records requests based on data that the government claims they have. So she finds requests, you know, let's say that they say they have a paper that isolated COVID-19. Well, then she files her paper, her request specifically to that government agency and says, hey, here you claim to have isolated this. Can you show us proof of that or show us the document that confirms that? And her claim is that she's been given hundreds of non-responsive responses. And for those who haven't filed open records requests, basically if you fill out this form and say, hey, I'd like all emails and documents and meetings, et cetera, related to these words and this topic specifically. And then if they have it, they're supposed to legally tell you about it. And if they don't, then they can ignore you and say they don't have it. Now, a lot of times, though, the problem with these open records requests is it's all dependent on the words you use. So you might actually be asking for something the government has, and if you use the wrong language or you're not specific enough, or if you ask the wrong department, then they'll tell you there's the non-responsive documents. I'm not claiming that that's the case with all of Christine's dozens and dozens of open records requests. I'm just acknowledging that the language you use and the terms you use and the departments you FOIA will determine what you get. And at the same time, I don't know if we should just simply jump from, let's imagine, for example, that Christine's documents have been perfectly filed with the right language, asking the right departments and using the right terms, and that's all legit and all good. And the governments are honestly saying, we don't have those documents. Does that mean we should jump to the next implication? That means, oh, that means COVID doesn't exist. Personally, I'm not so sure. I think that if they are weaponizing pathogens or weaponizing toxins, whether you want to call it a virus or not, the government probably wouldn't just hand over a document that says, oh yeah, here's the paper we have where we show how we are manipulating this. And again, I'm going to be accused of promoting the lab leak theory. I'm just saying, I don't think FOIAs alone or lack of FOIA responses is enough to claim that we have the truth about what's really going on. So, that's all I'm saying. Now, I've been asking these people, McCullough, Mercola, Big Tree, Catherine Austin Fitz, Corbett, and others, about the no virus question, and I've often brought up Christine Massey's work because I think it is interesting. And most of them are not familiar with it, so I've had to try to educate them. And unfortunately, Christine doesn't like me mentioning her work. I don't know this woman at all. I had an interest in interviewing her at one point. I no longer have that interest because she came into my Telegram group, started acting a fool and just being ridiculous. And I'm sure this will generate more ridiculousness. And now her and other people regularly tag me on Facebook and Twitter and stuff and try to just, whatever. I see people like Mike Stone from Virology, and I'm mentioning your name, Mike, because you wrote an article about me now, or a blog about me. Not because I'm trying to call you out or start some feud. The point is, though, guys, I don't want to make this whole video about this. I've got some other topics. The point is, though, is that the last few months while I've been gone from the walk and talk stuff, there's been some controversy in different areas, which is not a bad thing. A lot of times controversy gets you closer to the truth. Sometimes it's just dumb shit on the internet. I kind of think that's the case here. So that's what I've been dealing with. And I guess to wrap that up, I will say I probably will ask that question about no virus to some other people I know, well-known, high-profile people in the movement, to get their thoughts and feelings on the situation. But overall, it does seem like every time I ask about it, it just creates more drama. And I am doing my own research still. I have a video coming out soon on the Rosenbaum paper, which many of the no virus people claim is one of the examples showing that pathogens cannot pass between people. And I've read the paper and the subsequent paper in the years after, and I just have some questions about it. So I'm still doing my research, and that's what's the saddest thing about it. Oh, this is the last thing I'll say. The saddest thing about this whole thing is getting attacked by the no virus people. People who, a lot of this crowd, I could tell, they only woke up the last couple of years. Not saying that about everybody. Somebody's gonna take that personal. But a lot of your followers, I'll say, have only woken up the last couple of years. And so they're just kind of catching up. They don't know maybe anything about 9/11. And that's fine. But also, a lot of these people don't know my history of work. And that's fine, too. Not saying everybody needs to kiss my ass or know that I've been doing this work for 14 years now. But when somebody just pops on the scene and they're being told, this guy's a no virus shill or a virus shill and germ theory propagandist, it's just annoying to hear people who have no idea of the work that I've put in on 5G, on COVID, on 9/11, on so many other topics, just be dismissive of me and call me shills or controlled opposition. It's really just stupid. It's annoying. And so I do get frustrated. I'll just say it. I do get frustrated. And sometimes I am a dick to people. I talk shit. But I have no qualms about that. If you're easily offended by bad words and you come at me with no respect, don't expect me to give you any respect. And occasionally I might call you a dumbass. I might call you a moron. And I do so because people who come at me like that and show no respect, and I don't mean respect, look at me because I'm a journalist, show me respect. I mean because I'm a human being. And you don't know me, and I don't know you. But people love to be assholes on the internet. It's really annoying. I've found so many times that people who are rude on the internet, they won't ever talk to you like that in person. The internet just gives people a safety net to feel like they can be dicks. And I don't play that game, guys. So if you come at me all sideways, or I'm being ganged up by a bunch of people on several platforms, on Twitter, on Telegram, my email, and other places, don't expect me to just be a perfect angel and take it. I do work from a place of compassion, but I'm also not a pushover. So you come at me all fucked up, expect to have shit talk to you. All right, let's move on. I'll do one more walk around the block. So Next thing on here, we talked about going to the UK, germ theory, all that stuff. I didn't even mean, that wasn't even on the list. The next thing I want to tell you guys about, behind the scenes, I've been working on a new mini documentary, I guess you could say. At the very least, a in-depth podcast about the transgender gender identity issue. And the reason I'm talking about this is because, well, you know, I really try to stay out of culture war stuff, and unfortunately some of this stuff does fit into the label of culture war. And I think it's always divisive, and what I'm noticing more and more on different topics is you've got the extreme left and extreme right, and those people are being amplified, and any kind of common sense in the middle is being completely ignored. And so people are only hearing about extreme versions. So for example, when it comes to the trans thing, the left extreme version is that you must accept people no matter what, no matter if they're harming themselves, no matter how ridiculous things may get, accept them, because that's freedom. And if you question it, question their choices, then you're a bigot. That's the extreme left version. The extreme right version is, you know, there, and this is true, there really are homophobic bigots out there in the conservative communities of various types. Not all of them, of course, but they exist. And so you have this conservative extremist right version, right point of view that says, like, down with the gay agenda and ban all the books and, you know, abolish Pride Month, and we should never talk about history, like the history of gay people and LGBTQ community having to rise up and fight for their freedom. We should never talk about those things. Again, that's like the extreme version. And in the middle, there's a lot of common ground. There's some important discussions that need to be had, but those get lost among these extremes. So about a month and a half ago, I sat down with a trans person, interviewed her to share her story. And this was part of, I was already kind of going down this rabbit hole of like doing more research on the trans issue and trying to get past the static and the noise of just the extreme left and the extreme right, and to see like, all right, is there something I can add to this conversation that's not just going to be more bullshit? And I do believe I can. I know that I have the ability to take complex, nuanced topics and to slow down and objectively show all sides of view. And so I've interviewed this trans person that will be included. I've been gathering all my data, and I'll be working on that today. It's going to be released probably by the end of this June or early July. Probably June, though, since it's Pride Month. And that's going to be my contribution to that conversation. So I hope you guys will look out for that, because, again, I'm going to try to be very honest and open and look at different viewpoints and make sure that I'm not just taking caricatures of individuals from either side of this discussion, but instead I'm actually looking at the human beings. That's what's most important to me, is to understand this situation from the human beings who are in the middle of it, not just from the extremists or the pundits arguing on the internet, most of whom on the right have never even actually met a trans person. And most of the people on the left who just scream bigot, they've never actually listened to a detransitioner or to a person who has issues or concerns. So that's coming up, guys. Another thing that's coming up any day now, like within a week, fingers crossed, is finally the next episode of the Pyramid of Power. And this has been taking a long time. I know it has. I wish it came out sooner. But here we are. And the next episode, chapter 13, is on the technocratic state. And I'm so excited about this, because if you've read my book, you got a little bit of background of technocracy. But this Pyramid of Power episode is just under 30 minutes long, and it's going to break down the history of technocracy, technotronic age, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said, and, of course, solutions. It features Patrick Wood, myself, of course. It's going to be really epic. And if you haven't watched the previous 12 episodes of the Pyramid of Power, visit thepyramidofpower.net to get that. And you can watch that. So my final topic of the day, as we wrap up here and I get ready to go back to my desk and dive into my work. Today is actually my last full day in Morelia, Mexico. For those who know, I'm running for mayor of Houston. And I moved back to Houston in the fall of last year. and I've been going back and forth. But now that the summer's here and the campaign's about to really heat up, I'm moving full-time into Houston. So this is my last full day in beautiful Morelia, unfortunately. But I just want to talk a moment about gratitude and life challenges and stuff. And right now, behind the scenes, there's several challenging things that I'm facing. I won't go into details now, but I will share with you guys soon when it's time. Personal challenges, challenges to projects that I'm working on, different things, and it can be tough, like, facing these things and feeling overwhelmed and maybe even doubtful and wondering if you're headed in the right direction or, you know, working on the right projects. But I just wanted to speak to a moment about gratitude, because despite all of my challenges and everything I'm working on, I couldn't be happier for the position I find myself in right now. I'm 38 years old. We are 6.5 years away from 2030. I just got to travel to the UK to meet brothers and sisters from the other side of the pond who are freedom warriors just like myself and who are looking for solutions and looking for ways around the Great Reset and looking for alternatives to this insanity that we're dealing with. And I regularly work with activists from across Europe and Mexico and US and Australia and India. And I just want to remind you guys, there's so much to be grateful for. Whatever personal challenges you're facing, just like I'm facing personal challenges, there's also so much good happening in the world. There are so many people just like you out there. Even if you feel alone, even if you're not connected to a freedom cell or a freedom hub or a freedom group in your area, for what I encourage you to, check out freedomcells.org and get connected locally. But even if you don't have that at the moment, just know that there are people like you everywhere out there working on creating and building a better world. And collectively, I do believe we're going to succeed. It doesn't mean it will be easy. It doesn't mean that there's no work to do, because there's a lot of work to do. Most of that work is internal, of course. So if you haven't quite got that yet, maybe spend some time reflecting on the trauma healing you might need to do, the self-work you might need to do. Because that's way, you know, whether you're a Christian, you pray to Christ, or Muslim and you pray to Muhammad, or whatever, you know, you're a Buddhist, or, you know, or you're just kind of spiritual but not religious, whatever your thing is, however you find healing, however you connect to the divine, to the creator, to the creative force, to the great spirit, the great mystery, make time for that. You know, I've gotten away from my meditation practice recently, and now as I'm preparing to be back in Houston full time, I'm going to be diving back into my biking, which is a big part of my meditation, diving back into my sitting meditation, and yeah, I'm going to be doing more videos on that. I got a video planned coming up about exiting and building from negative mindsets, and how we can change our circumstances by changing our mind. And this is what the conscious resistance has always been about. The conscious resistance is the reflection, the understanding, the realization that the struggle for a more free, ethical, and just world will not come from only confronting government, corporations, Fauci, Hotez, etc., 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 but from confronting our internal tyrant, our doubts, our fears, insecurities, and limiting beliefs which can hold us back and prevent us from being the best versions of ourselves, which we happen to need right now. So don't forget about the internal work. Find ways to be grateful, guys. If you need to forgive people, to let shit go so you can be grateful, let that shit go. Forgive them. Move on with your life and claim your happiness. Don't let anybody else stand in the way of your happiness. Don't let the New World Order stand in the way of your happiness. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but that doesn't mean that we don't have time and space and room for joy. I had somebody chastised me recently because when we went to the UK, I posted a picture of Miriam, myself, and Ramiro smiling, and somebody said, how dare you smile? How can you be smiling when all these horrible things are going in the world? You're just a fake freedom leader, blah, blah. And it's like people expect or want us to be miserable because of all the crazy things we're facing. I refuse. I'm sorry, guys. I refuse to be miserable. It doesn't mean I'm going to ignore what's happening and live naively. This is why I bought land. Growing food, I'm building a network of freedom cells and hubs all around the world because I see what's happening. But again, I'm not going to live in fear, so I hope you won't live in fear. Instead, live in gratitude. Find your gratitude, find your peace, find the things that make you joyful, and put your energy into those. That's all I got for today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.